March 16th, 2021, regular meeting of the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission will now come to order. We will pause for our invocation and proceed briefly or immediately into the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time we get together, participate in the proceedings. I pray that decisions made will be made here today, will be made the betterment of our community as a whole. That's just my opinion.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Metropolitan Planning Commission is holding a virtual meeting in an effort to be compliant with local and state regulations regarding social distancing and to maintain the health, safe, and safety of all involved in these public hearings. For staff, petitioners, and members of the public who are participating, our procedures will be as follows. The agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, the consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with the staff recommendation and there are no known objections. This will be followed by regular business, old business, and adjournment. For each agenda item on the regular business, the staff will make a presentation. The staff presentation will be followed by a presentation by the petitioner should they elect to do so. The petitioner will be allotted a time frame of 10 to 20 minutes. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner or staff for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open for public comment. If you wish to comment on the item that the board is considering at the time, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. Do not use the feature until your item, the item you want to comment on is being considered. At the appropriate time, you will be recognized and staff will unmute your microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by the chair, your microphone will be muted and the chair will recognize the next speaker. The total public comment time will be equivalent to the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, it is important that you use the raise your hand feature during the hearing on that item if you want to speak on a petition. Once the floor is closed for public comment on a petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you are not certain you want to speak, still use the raise your hand feature and you will have the option to decline when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity for rebuttal and then any additional needed questions by the board. Finally, the board will take action. All right. I think the first order of business is approval of the agenda.
Motion to approve. Okay.
Second.
This
Do
is
I have a second?
Second.
Okay. All right. I have a motion and a second for the approval of the agenda. Mr. Brown, how do you vote? Okay. Mr. Joyner, are you there?
I'm sorry. Could you state the question again?
We're on the approval of the agenda. Do you approve of the agenda or no?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Wywoody?
I approve.
Mr. Watkins?
Approve.
Mr. Stevens?
Approve.
Mr. Urban?
Yes.
Ms. Epstein?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Parker?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
And Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
I too approve. So the motion carries. All right. Notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. April 6th, we'll have our next MPC meeting at 1:30. Good webinar. You'll be getting that information as time grows closer. We will not be doing the resolution of appreciation today. Ms. Southers could not make it. Development plan submitted for review is another one of our items. Items requested to be withdrawn. There's a zoning map amendment for 1902 and 1920 Waters Avenue and 1111 East 36th Street. Is there anyone in the public who wanted to speak on these items? Whoops. I missed the to be removed from the final. Rezoning plan development, Little Neck Road. Let's do them. Well, can we do them collectively?
Yes.
Okay. There is rezoning plan development, Little Neck Road, rezoned from RA to PD, file number 20-005235. There's also a rezoning map amendment for 8020 Waters Avenue, rezoned from RSF 10 to OI, file number 20-004502. And there is an amended general development plan for 4704 Ogeechee Road, file number 21000432. Is there anyone in the public who wanted to speak on these matters? Use the raise your hand feature, please. Okay. All right. And do I have a motion to accept removal of these items from the final agenda?
No, Irvin, so moved.
Remove item second. Seven.
A second?
Second, Dwayne Stevens.
All right, thank you. So we have a motion and a second for removal of the items. Mr. Joyner, how do you vote? Okay. Mr. Brown, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Joyner? Okay. Mr. Wywoody?
I approve.
Mr. Watkins?
Approve.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Irvin?
Yes.
Ms. Epstein?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Parker?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
All right, motion passes. There are two items requested to be withdrawn. One is a zoning map amendment at 1902 and 1920 Waters Avenue and 1111 East 36th Street, rezoned from TC1 and TR3 to PD plan development. There's also a zoning map amendment at 351 Technology Circle, rezoned from OIE, Office Institutional Extended, to IH, Heavy Industrial. Is there anyone here to speak on those items? Anyone in the public to speak on those items? Please use the raise your hand feature. All right. Do I have a motion to approve these withdrawals?
So moved, Joe Irvin.
Thanks, Joe. A second?
Second, Tom Wywoody.
Thank you. I've got a motion and a second to remove these requested to be withdrawn items or to withdraw these items. Mr. Brown, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Wywoody?
I approve.
Mr. Watkins?
Approve.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Irvin?
Yes.
Ms. Epstein?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Parker?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
All right. The motion carries. I too approve. And we will go on to the consent agenda. On the consent agenda, we have approval of the February 23rd, 2021 briefing and regular meeting minutes. Do I have a motion?
Joe Urban, so moved.
All right, a second?
Second, Tom Wywinney.
All right, thank you. I have a motion and a second for approval of the consent agenda. Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Joyner? I'm sorry, Mr. Wywoody?
Approve.
Mr. Watkins?
Approve.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Urban?
Yes.
Ms. Epstein?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Parker?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
And Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. We have no old business, and we'll go on to regular business. Zoning map amendment, Quaco Road, rezone request from RA to BN. I'll let Mr. Jordan take it over.
Thank you, Ms. Jarrett. And with your permission, I would like to speak about the Quaco Road zoning map amendment, as well as 11 Quaco Road. I'd like to lump them together during the presentation section, but just want to note that two separate motions will need to be made since they are two separate applications.
All right, thank you.
Okay, so for Quaco Road and 11 Quaco Road, just to give a brief orientation, Ogeechee Road can be seen here on this map, as well as Quaco Road. The parcel highlighted in yellow is one of these subject parcels. And on this next map, the one directly adjacent to it to the east is the other subject parcel, which is technically 11 Quaco Road. At issue is a request to rezone 0.20 acres at 11 Quaco Road and 0.59 acres at the unaddressed parcel on Quaco Road from the RA Residential Agriculture Zoning District to the BN Neighborhood Business Zoning District. A bit of background here, the subject properties, one is currently developed with a single family manufactured home, and the other property is undeveloped. It is important to note that both are in the RA zoning district. The existing development pattern in this area is a mix of uses as well as zoning districts. I want to pull up the staff report here because the one exhibit does a great job showing all the surrounding zoning districts as well as the uses. So the two subject parcels are outlined in blue here. To the northwest is a church that zoned residential agriculture. There are some single family residences directly behind the two subject parcels. Across the street is the AT zoning district, and it has retail establishment. To the east of that is a gas station. It is the BC zoning district. There's also two vehicle repair locations, one in the AT zoning district and one in the PBC zoning district. So it's clear there is a mix of uses as well as a mix of zoning districts. I also want to note that public notice requirements, including mailed notices to property owners, newspaper advertisement, and signposting were all met for both of these applications. At the time of report writing, staff has received a call from a neighboring property owner seeking information. However, no opposition or support was given from that resident. Since the time of report writing, a petition of support has been submitted with over 100 signatures. It is important to note, though, that all the signees are not from the immediate area. Some are from along Quaco Road. Some didn't give an address as well, but those are part of the file for both of these applications. I also would like to present some facts and findings that the existing land use and development pattern on both of these parcels is residential, and the surrounding land uses and zoning districts are a vacant parcel to the north, which is residential agriculture, to the south is automobile repair and the PBC zoning district, to the east is a retail establishment in the AT zoning district, and to the west is automobile repair in the AT/RA. This parcel right here is AT for the front half of the parcel, and the back half of the parcel is the RA zoning district. It's also important to note the intent of the existing RA district, and I'll get into the intent of the proposed BN zoning district. The purpose of intent of the RA zoning district is to protect those rural areas within the urban expansion areas of the county from future urban development, and to protect certain rural highway roadside areas against strip development, which can lead to traffic congestion, traffic hazards, and roadside blight. The intent of the BN zoning district, which is the proposed zoning district, is to provide convenient shopping facilities consisting of convenience goods and personal services in neighborhood market areas of from 3,000 to 5,000 people. I have also attached in the development report allowed uses in both the RA and the BN zoning district, as well as the development standards for each. Table one shows minimum lot area through any of these. I'd be happy to go into more detail at the end of my presentation and come back to this at any time. It's also important to note the future land use map and the Tricentennial Comprehensive Plan designates the subject properties as commercial suburban. So you can see here this reddish orange color designates the commercial suburban, which is all along Quaco Road as well as Ogeechee. The darker orange color is residential general, which can be seen here to the northwest, which is Shady Acres Mobile Home Court Drive and part of a sliver of property that runs towards Ogeechee Road as well. The property is served by the Chatham County Police Department and Chatham Emergency Services. Quaco Road is currently undergoing a widening, suggesting that this area is anticipated to develop as a commercial corridor, as previously noted, to handle future traffic needs. Also want to note the property is served by the Chatham Area Transit System, route number 17, which is the Silk Hope route. Next, I want to go over a summary of findings and what staff has found, as this is a part of the criteria for the rezoning request. The first one is, will the proposed zoning districts permit uses that would create traffic volumes, noise level, odor, airborne particulate matter, visual blight, reduced light, or increased density of development that would adversely impact the livability or quality of life in the surrounding neighborhood? Staff has found that this rezoning request would not do such things. The next summary finding is, will the proposed zoning districts permit uses that would adversely impact adjacent or nearby properties by rendering such properties less desirable and therefore less marketable for the type of development permitted under the current zoning? Staff has found that would not be the case. Will the proposed zoning districts permit uses that would generate a type or mix of vehicular traffic on a street or highway that is incompatible with the type of land use development along such street or highway? Staff has found that that would not be the case. Will the proposed zoning district permit uses that would generate greater traffic volumes at vehicular access points and cross streets than is generated by uses permitted under the current zoning district to the detriment of maintaining acceptable or current volume capacity? Staff has found that is not the case. Will the proposed zoning districts permit uses or scale of development that would require a greater level of public services, such as drainage facilities, utilities, or safety services, above that required for uses permitted under the current zoning district, such that the provision of these services will create financial burden to the public? Staff has found that they will not. Will the proposed zoning district permit uses or scale of development that would adversely impact the improvement development of adjacent or nearby properties in accordance with existing zoning regulations and development controls deemed necessary to maintain the stability and livability of the surrounding neighborhood? Staff has found that it would not. And the final one is, will the proposed zoning districts permit development that is inconsistent with the comprehensive land use plan? Staff has found that it will not. For policy analysis, staff has found that the proposed rezoning request for both 11 Quaco Road and the unaddressed parcel on Quaco Road conforms to the future land use plan, which calls for the subject area to be commercial suburban. The rezoning request also meets the intent of the BN zoning district by providing convenient shopping facilities consisting of convenience goods and personal services in neighborhood market areas anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 people. The proposed use of retail for this site is in keeping with a suburban commercial style of development, as this property fronts a secondary arterial road and is in proximity to Ogeechee Road. Both roads can handle the potential traffic increases to this parcel, as the increase is not anticipated to be exceptional, as well as the additional road widening currently happening. Directly adjacent to this property are multiple commercial uses and not solely residential uses. And the BN zoning district is the least intent zoning district that permits a retail use while keeping with a suburban commercial style of development. It's important to note that the setbacks required for the BN zoning district intend to protect any surrounding residentially zoned parcels by requiring expanded setbacks compared to adjacent commercially zoned parcels. For all the reasons mentioned above, staff is recommending that the MPC approve the petitioner's request to rezone 11 Quaco Road, as well as the unaddressed parcel on Quaco Road, from the RA zoning district to the BN zoning district. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Holloway. Are there any questions? All right, are the petitioners available for Quaco Road and 11 Quaco Road? If you would come, if you would state your name and share what you're interested in sharing.
Ms. Williams, you're unmuted now, so feel free to chime in.
Ms. Williams, are you there?
She's showing it's unmuted, but.
How about the other petitioner? Are you available? Is there anyone else you'd like to speak on behalf of the petitioner out there?
While we're waiting on her, can we go ahead and see if there's someone else wanting to speak in public at all?
I suppose we could. Is there anyone out there in the public who would like to speak on these items? Quaco Road or 11 Quaco Road? Use the raise your hand feature, please. Well, hearing nothing from the public and nothing from the applicant, is there a motion out there?
Madam Chairwoman, this is Rule Joiner. I'd like to make a motion to pass 11 Quaco Road.
To approve it based on staff's recommendation?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Noah, second.
Mr. Noah, second. So we have a motion on the floor with a second. Is there any discussion before we vote? All right.
Which one are we doing?
We're doing the first one, Quaco Road. This will be
number 11.
No, Quaco Road is the first one, and then 11 Quaco Road will come after that.
Number 11 on the agenda.
Number 11 on the agenda, yes.
Thank you.
Sorry, confusion. All right. Mr. Brown, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Joiner?
Aye.
Mr. Wywoody?
I approve.
Mr. Watkins?
Approve.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Irvin?
Yes.
Ms. Epstein?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Parker?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
And Ms. Bowles? Ms. Bowles?
Yeah, I was muted by the organizer. Yes.
All right. I vote yes as well, so the motion passes. Now on 11 Quacko Road, item number 12. Do we have a motion?
Madam Chairwoman, I'd like to make a motion to pass staff's approval for 11 Quacko Road.
Is this Mr. Joyner?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, thank you. Do I have a second?
Eula Parker, I'll second.
All right, thank you, Ms. Parker. Is there any discussion? All right, Mr. Brown, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Joyner?
Aye.
Mr. Whitewoody?
Approve.
Mr. Watkins?
Approve.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Urban?
Yes.
Ms. Epstein?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Parker?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
I too approve, so that motion passes as well. All right, thank you. Now we're at the zoning map amendment for 11901 Middle Ground Road, rezone request from RSF 20 to BN.
Good afternoon. I'd like to state for the record that our report for this case has been revised from what was initially posted on Agenda Plus, specifically the section regarding policy analysis. That being said, on the screen, I have a vicinity map which shows the general location of the property, the subject property. As you can see here, where my cursor is Hunter Army Airfield and Abercorn Street right here with the cursor hovering over. This case is a petition to rezone residential property, RSF 20. This case is a petition to rezone residential property, RSF 20, to the BN Neighborhood Business Zoning District. As shown on the area map, the subject property is located at the southwest corner of the intersection of Middle Ground Road and Dutch Town Road in the Wilshire Estates neighborhood. What I have here on the screen is a Google Street View of the subject property at the intersection of Middle Ground and Dutch Town Roads. And here is a front-on headshot of the property. The subject property is developed with a 1,764 square foot residence fronting Middle Ground Road, which the applicant plans to demolish. Pull the zoning map up. Land north to the property is zoned RMF 310 and is developed with a retirement home facility. A property to the east here is zoned BN or neighborhood business and office and institutional and is developed with a multi-tenant commercial strip and a daycare center. Property abutting to the south is zoned limited business and office institution and is developed with a vacant residence and an animal care facility. Property to the west is zoned RSF 20 and is developed with the church. Many of the properties on Middle Ground Road between Dutch Town Road and Abercorn Street are large parcels developed with non-residential uses such as commercial and institutional developments. Typical uses that would front on the four-lane highway. Appendix A1 of the Savannah zoning ordinance classifies Middle Ground Road as a minor arterial and Dutchtown Road as a collector street. What I'm about to pull up is the table that shows all of the uses allowed in RSF 20 in comparison to the uses in the proposed zoning district neighborhood business. The intent of the RSF districts are to establish single family detached development with a limited number of non-residential uses supportive to the community. The intent of the neighborhood business district is to establish small scale non-residential development to provide limited commercial opportunities in a walkable environment. Uses in this district are intended to be located primarily on collector or arterial streets, such as Middle Ground or Dutchtown, within a convenient distance from neighboring communities. And as I have listed here or shown here on the screen is the number of different uses, which you can see there's much more uses permitted in BN neighborhood business than there is for RSF 20. There are a few notable comments from the review criteria I would like to highlight. The first is regarding suitability and community need. Whether the range of uses permitted by the proposed zoning district is more suitable than the range of uses that is permitted by the current zoning district. Staff's comment in response to this is that the range of uses permitted in the BN zoning district are more suitable at this location than the range of uses permitted in the RSF 20 district. BN would permit a greater variety of potential uses and amenities to the number of residences in the nearby residential zoning districts. Following comments are regarding compatibility. Whether the zoning proposal was compatible with the present zoning pattern and conforming uses of nearby property and the character of the surrounding area. Staff's comment is that there is a common theme of non-residential uses at the intersection of Middle Ground Road and Dutchtown Road. The rezoning to BN would be compatible to the zoning of the property directly across the street on Middle Ground Road, which is also zoned BN. Whether there are other existing or changing conditions affecting the use and property, which give supporting grounds for either approval or disapproval of the zoning proposal. Staff's comment is that it appears that the parcel abutting the subject property to the south, which is zoned BL, was once used as a residential dwelling. This indicates that a detached residential use near the intersection of Middle Ground Road and Dutchtown Road had been converted into a non-residential use, which supports the rezoning of the subject property from residential to BN. Concerning the matter of reasonable uses, whether the property to be affected by the zoning proposal has a reasonable use as currently zoned, staff's comment in response to this is that the subject property meets the dimensional standards for residential housing to be developed. However, a close approximation to a highway of such classification makes residential use less desirable. Also, the subject property is within 3,000 feet of a military installation, and due to this proximity, additional criteria has been considered. One of which is whether the zoning proposal will adversely affect the existing use or usability of nearby property within 3,000 feet of a military base, military installation, or military airport. Staff's comment in response to this is that the zoning proposal will not affect the existing use or usability of nearby property within 3,000 feet of the military installation. Referring to policy analysis, per the city's current comprehensive plan, the subject property's future land use category is labeled as residential general. This future land use category is defined as an area with a wide range of residential uses, including multifamily dwellings, attached dwellings, small lot single family dwellings at densities greater than 10 units per gross acre. Since the adoption of the current comprehensive plan, the development pattern of the immediate area has transformed. The widening of Middle Ground Road decades ago has created the conditions that has made the road more fitting for commercial and institutional uses rather than residential uses. The subject property is the only remaining single family residence on the portion of Middle Ground Road between Dutchtown Road and Abercorn Street. The two abutting properties to the south were former single family residences that have been converted into office use. Although the rezoning proposal is inconsistent with the future land use of the current comprehensive plan, the existing development pattern and land uses surrounding the subject property supports the proposed zoning. Based upon study and review criteria, staff recommends approval of the requested rezoning from RSF 20 to BN neighborhood business at the location of 11901 Middle Ground Road. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Are there any questions for Mr. Antimo? All right, is the petitioner available for 11901 Middle Ground Road? All right, would you like to share?
Madam Chairman, my name's Doug Morgan, EMC Engineering. I'm here to answer any questions, and also the petitioner, Mr. Karan Patel, is online to answer any questions if needed.
All right, are there any questions of the petitioner?
No.
Okay, is there anyone from the public who would like to speak on this matter? Please use the raise your hand feature. Mr. Murphy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, please state your name for the record and share with us.
Yes, my name is James Murphy, and I'm from Christ Memorial Baptist Church, directly behind there. And we're just trying to find out what type of business are they planning on putting there.
Mr. Antimo, I'm going to let you address that. You've got the zoning before you. Okay.
So the applicant has proposed to develop a convenience store, a gas station at this location.
Okay, thank you. That's all we needed to know.
Okay.
All right. Is there anyone else in the public who would like to speak? Please use the raise your hand feature. All right. All right. I guess we're at the point where, are there any questions for the petitioner from the commissioners? Is there a motion?
This is Eula Parker.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Just one question. Will there be some type of border or divider between the church and the property?
Question for staff or the petitioner. I don't necessarily have the information on hand what the required buffer is.
Understood.
So
at this point in time, we are just zoning the property. We don't have a site plan in front of us. It is a zoning request and not a site plan request. The site plan will come back before us for approval, correct?
Okay.
All the setbacks.
No, we do have a site plan.
This is just a conceptual site plan at the moment. It's a bit blurry on here, but the applicant just showed me on the plans that he had next to me that 20-foot buffer.
A 20-foot buffer?
Between the church and the actual proposed development. Yes, ma'am.
This is a conceptual site plan only, though. What we're really voting on is the zoning, the BN zoning, correct?
Correct. Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Parker, does that address your concern?
Yes, that's fine. Thank you.
Madam Chairman?
Are there any other questions for the applicant or staff?
Yes.
All right, who is this?
Michael. So I know we're not approving the site plan, but I'm always more of an advocate. I mean, the 20 feet's fine, but what matters more is a really good fence and vegetation. So I would ask staff, is that, would that normally be required here?
I know. We are only looking at zoning at this point in time. When the right. site plan comes back before us, we can look more closely. Okay. And all right.
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
This is Elizabeth Epstein. What is the zoning on the opposite corners to the subject property? There's across the street is shown, but on the other kitty corner, as we might say, at the upper part of the screen.
About this area here, ma'am?
No, sir, on the other side of Middletown, Dutchtown, excuse me. Oh, that one right there where your cursor is.
It's zone.
Might be on it. Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Anything else? All right. Do we have a motion?
Madam Chairwoman, this is Rule Joyner. I'd like to make a motion to approve staff's approval for this property.
All right. Do I have a second for that?
Noah second.
Mr. Noah seconded, and Mr. Joyner made the motion. Is there any discussion? All right. Mr. Brown, how do you vote?
Yes, to for approval of staff recommendation.
Mr. Joyner?
Aye.
Mr. Wywoody?
I approve.
Mr. Watkins?
Approved.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Urban?
Yes.
Ms. Epstein?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Parker?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles? Ms.
Yes.
Bowles?
All yes.
Right. To approve, the motion passes. Thank you. All right, we do have two presentations. We're going to get an update on the comprehensive plan process and then a discussion of ordinance updates for Chatham County.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Hi.
It's good to quote unquote see everyone again today. I'm going to take you through, hopefully really quick, the update of where we stand thus far with the comprehensive plan, Plan 2040. I'll again show you on our main screen here, you'll see the logo Plan 2040 with nine colors, and that's to represent the nine jurisdictions within Chatham County itself. And for those of you who are new to our board, this is our advanced planning team. This is what we look like without masks. And for those within the virtual world, that way you can see who's standing in front of you. That would be me, Jackie Jackson, by the way. Sorry, I should have said that. And to kind of answer the question that as we start the process, what is a comp plan? A comp plan is actually that public document adopted by local governments that we use as a policy guide for decisions on long-range development for our community. It is meant to be a roadmap and a resource to track implementation of the policies that we're working on every single day. The MPC has been involved with the comprehensive plan process since the 1980s and overseeing many of the comprehensive plans in Chatham County. The last full update for each of the city's comprehensive plans that we're going to discuss was last done between 2006 and 2008 with minor updates and amendments in 2016. And we are actually updating the comprehensive plans for four of the jurisdictions within Chatham County to include unincorporated Chatham County, Garden City, Pooler, and the City of Savannah. The comprehensive plan process is overseen by the Georgia Department of Community Affairs, and each local government must by law adopt, maintain, and implement your approved comprehensive plans to maintain your qualified local government status, your QLG, as it's known to most. And why this is really important is that it allows cities and counties to tap into dollars to access financial resources that aid in implementing plans locally. And that's where you start to see access to CDBG loans, GFA dollars, CIG or Coastal Incentive Grants, Water and Sewer Loans, and One Georgia Authority Funds, just to name a few. Presenting you here real quick, up here what you see on the screen is the specific content that is focused on around within the comprehensive plan itself. Those elements listed and shown in yellow are the required elements via the state. And then the additional elements are those that we feel at the local level are pertinent to our document and then strengthen the document. So we will also be including these elements within our individual comp plans for each jurisdiction. The actual plan is implemented by a mandate framework of goals and strategies via the Georgia Department of Community Affairs requirements. So during this process, we have created goals that are your general overarching statements describing the direction that the community wants to go. And then we have individual strategies with actions. And that's where you get into the minutia and look at the real strategies on how we're going to implement all those goals. So the 2021 update must be approved, as I said, and adopted by each city council as well as the county commission. And as you can see here, our individual timeline, we're kind of at what we're calling the engage and development stage, with the final plan adoption. The requirement date for that is October 31st of this year, October 31st, 2021. So it has to be sent up to the state, Georgia Department of Community Affairs, sent back to the local communities for revisions, and then sent back again. So it's a pretty rigorous exercise of back and forth, but it's extremely important to the process, of course. So I'm showing here just a few of the continual ways that we're trying to involve the community and its leaders and overall stakeholders to the process. I've got a list of meetings that we've had thus far. And then I've also got a list of two of our upcoming additional virtual meetings that we'll be having on March 30th. As you can see, we've kind of gone from in-person to virtual to larger meeting rooms, gyms, that type of thing. So we've tried to hit all the different resources, but of course, taking COVID into account, it gets a little bit tricky, as we've, you know, we're all aware of nowadays. Again, trying to really push social media, TV, we're pushing radio, we're pushing website, social, I already said social media, some more social media, continuous process, and focusing on this little guy. This little guy is who we're planning for the future. Him and his buddies are who we're really thinking about for the next 20 years as we move forward. And this actual guy was in Forsyth Park one day and hung out with us for quite a while. He was pretty cool. So one of the ways that we tried to get the word out and get input from the general public was via a public survey. The public survey was live for more than 80 days, and we got over 2,500 responses, which is great for this area for sure. And as you can see, Savannah and Pooler almost had 1,000 responses each, which was really great. So together, We hit topics on land use, transportation, housing, you know, all the different elements of the comp plan were addressed through this survey. It was not a short survey, which is also impressive to get over 2,000 people answering it. So it was a great source for us to get individual comments from the community. So just to kind of take you back, this is just one individual question, and I wanted to kind of, it is insightful, so give you an idea of what some of the questions were and what we found from the community. Just a quick snapshot. This particular question asked for the individual to rank the housing options in the order of how they would be prioritized in Savannah in the next 5 years. Overall, roughly a third of the respondents wanted to see housing for mid or moderate income be first priority for the community, which is a good takeaway. And then with that same exact question, roughly one quarter of the respondents wanted to see senior housing. That was, again, a major area that they needed, that they felt needed to be focused on with the Savannah metropolitan area. So with that being said, in addition to all the virtual meetings that we've had, we've also have what we're calling our comment map live on our website. And I was just going to super quickly take you through that, assuming this works for me. So what this does, this is a pretty cool initiative that we did. And what's interesting is our in-house staff actually programmed, did all the coding and made this thing live. So this is pretty neat endeavor for us. And we've gotten over 250 individual comments via this comment map. And it is still live, so anyone at any point throughout this entire process can provide comments. And I was just going to quickly kind of give you an idea of what some of those individual comments were. It's pretty cool. You can get down to a really, as you can see, a very, very close level, almost at a block level. So this was an interesting one near Baldwin Park at 41st Street. The individual provided comments on accessory dwelling units, something for the community to take note of and to look into as a whole. And then you get into specific comments that much more intense, Main Street organizations, and then even things such as this park isn't well lit at night. So you can get very, very specific and then also more broad range. Oops. So taking you back just a step, actually, I'm going to take you back one, sorry. What I also wanted to point out on the website for those who are interested, this is the mpc.compplan2040.org that we're talking about. And I also wanted to highlight that we keep ongoing upcoming events shown on here as well. And then at any point, all of the information that we've presented at the meeting is also kept in our archive, on the website. So you can see every single presentation and documentation that was discussed and handed out at the meetings. And this is important for transparency in history of the process as well, so that local community can at any point obtain information. So I think we're done with that. So the next point, what was briefly mentioned, is that we at this stage would like to request that the MPC nominate 2 to 3, maybe 4 representatives from the board, asking that we at least have one city and one county representative from each on this subcommittee, excuse me. And then we, over the next couple of months, we would like to have additionally some more virtual meetings and go into more specifics with regards to the individual chapters and intent, and again, those goals and strategies as we move forward. And we would like your participation in that process as much as possible. And lastly, just a reminder of all the ways that you can stay in touch with us and continue to provide input over the next coming months. We have an active phone line, 651-4-1480 is a direct phone line where you can leave messages at any point, and that goes directly to the advanced planning team, and we all check those messages and we'll respond, as well as you can email us directly at plan2040 at vmpc.org. And that again goes to directly to our team. So we will absolutely email you back and answer that as quickly as possible. And then again, as I showed you before, the website, mpc.compplan2040.org, where you can pretty much gain any type of information and knowledge on the process thus far. And we are also welcome in-person visits with a little bit of heads up, 24 hours notice, so we can schedule that and we'll set up a meeting time to meet with anyone who would be more comfortable coming in into the office. So with all of that, if there are any questions, I'll be happy to take any questions.
Are there any questions out there?
Would you like the nomination today?
I should have mentioned that, sorry. If we could get a list of names just within the next week or so, that would be great before the next meeting. And now that way we can kind of get everybody allocated to that subcommittee and start giving you information from there.
This is Melanie Wilson. Mr. Brown, I might add that we are in the process of trying to getting ready to try to schedule a time to meet with City Council. So we will be contacting you with suggested dates so that we can give them an overview of what we're doing with regards to the comp plan. Is there anyone out there who has questions, or are you interested in volunteering for this subcommittee?
This is Malik. You can put me down.
All right. Thank you. I already put your name.
And Lauren Bowles.
This is Dwayne Stevens. I'm willing to participate.
This is Rule Joyner. I'm willing to participate for the county side.
All right. We were supposed to get about four people, and we didn't want any more than four because we have problems with.
I will step out then. I will be an alternate.
I think we're good. I think that if, yep.
If you need me, I'm available.
From the city, it looks like. So I think if you guys are good at participating, we'll leave it there.
Madam Chair, this is Travis. Can you reiterate? This is Travis Coles. Could you reiterate who those people were?
Yes. Malik Watkins showed an interest, and Lorene Bowles showed an interest, and Dwayne Stevens showed an interest, and Rule Joyner showed an interest. So those are the four names that I got.
I had also thrown my name in the hat, but whichever, you know, however you guys decide to go forward.
Yeah. Oh, he was? Okay. All right, so we'll Ms. Travis, we're gonna put Travis in there, and Mr. Joyner, would you mind waiting for the next opportunity?
Absolutely, I'll be the alternate.
That makes sense to have it.
Oops, hold on just a second.
And just for the record, this is Travis Coles. I was a city appointee, so however the numbers work for that.
Okay. All right. So what they're saying is we'll go with the five, and one of you will be an alternate, and we will get back with you on how that'll work. Okay.
Sounds good.
All right.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Any other questions before we go? Before we go on to the next. All right. Thank you. Now we're going to do a discussion of ordinance updates for Chatham County. Mr. Lotson. Yeah, but
thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the board.
I just wanted to briefly go over something that the staff is beginning to work on, and we'll be coming back to you with some additional information in future meetings. But we have been taking a review of a lot of our regulatory documents, including, in this case, the county zoning ordinance. We're going to also be doing a review of the subdivision regulations in the city and the county to see if there are things that need to be updated. We're kind of been aware for some time of some things that have been pressing from a zoning ordinance standpoint that we feel we need to address. So what we're bringing forth today is just a few of the areas that we want to focus on and see if there's any feedback from the board at this point about these areas or other areas we might need to address. One of the main things we realized when we started this process is that we're not going through at this point with the county ordinance and doing a wholesale rewrite or update. So what we wanted to do is go through and find those areas that have been the cause of some consternation over the years for different reasons, and see if we can make some improvements without having to go through a whole zoning ordinance update process. One of the areas we thought was important to focus on was the definition section. There are a number of definitions that are in there that need to be rewritten. They are have some sort of outdated language in some cases, one thing we'll talk about. And then there are also some things that just aren't in there that need to be things that were not contemplated at the time this ordinance was written, as you know, many, many years ago. Accessory buildings, for example, there is no definition in the ordinance for that. The closest thing that is in there relates to like construction trailers, which is not the accessory building that we need to address now with some of the recent changes that the county code has allowed as it relates to accessory dwelling units. So we want to be able to address that in the definition section. Over the last couple of years, there's been a lot of confusion about congregate care facilities, how they're defined, where they're permitted. So we want to go through and create a new definition that clearly defines what those uses are. The current definition, which is care home, has some outdated language related to probably some things I'm not going to even get into at this second, but we really want to do some updating of the language around things like animal services, rooming and boarding houses. And another thing we want to address is building height in terms of the definition. There's been some changes to the way the county measures height over the last couple of years because of the floodplain changes. So we want to be able to address that as well. Another section we want to address is section 3-6.1, which is about accessory buildings on residential lots. This has become an issue in a lot of, especially coastal parts of the county, where many times accessory buildings are permitted on what would be the front yard of the house. In those circumstances, where they're typically not allowed in the county in front yards, on marsh property and riverfront property, they are allowed. There are a number of stipulations that minimize how large they can be, how tall they can be, that kind of thing. But it's not very clear. So we want to come back through with a new definition and a clarification of where those accessory buildings can be, how large they can be, potentially how many they can be, because that is an issue on some larger lots as well. But more importantly, in my opinion, when something is considered accessory, because there are some loopholes in the current ordinance related to attaching a building, an accessory building, to a principal building that gets you into a different regulatory stance in terms of how much of a building you can have. So that's another thing that we're going to approach. One of the standards, or a couple of the standards that exist now, when accessory buildings on marshfront lots are permitted within front yards, is that they not exceed 900 square feet in size, and they not be more than one story in height. One story isn't very well defined under the current ordinance. A story could be 20 feet, it could be 25 feet, or it could be 12 feet. So we're gonna narrow that definition. We're gonna bring forth that the proposed language after it's vetted, finally through our staff and county staff. We'll be bringing that language back to the Planning Commission for consideration. as we line up these amendments in a order to be determined to go before the county commission, who ultimately will be the ones who will be deciding on any of these proposed changes. One of the other big areas that we feel needs immediate attention is section 3-12, which is visual buffers and screening. Currently under the ordinance, buffers are based on the types of uses. So if you have one use adjacent to another use, then a particular buffer is required. Now, the issue with that is that when that was written, we don't believe we necessarily took into account the scale of a use adjacent to another use that could have a very negative impact. So if you have, for example, a warehouse on a piece of property, it's one thing if it's a sort of what we consider a normal size warehouse, but the larger it gets, the more impact it has. And if the adjacent property is residential, as an example, then what is now the maximum buffer of 40 feet might not be adequate. So we want to look at the buffer requirements and look at potentially a sliding scale based on intensity, based on height, and what goes in that buffer to protect the, in most cases, with a residential property. So we're in the process of developing the language around all of these potential amendments, and we'll be coming back to the board, not with all of them at once, but we're gonna be, you know, creating a priority list out of what we've got so far, and then coming back to the board with some of these petitions to either ask for a recommendation to go to county commission or additional feedback so that we can further refine them. But that's really where we are with that right now, and I'd be glad to answer any questions, but we feel like it's important to address some of these issues in the county ordinance, because they have been things that have come up, you know, on numerous occasions.
Thank you, Mr. Lotson. Are there any questions?
Madam Chair, I got a question. Mr. Lotson, I know you may not have the answer to this, but if you could research it, I'd like to know why in the original Chadburn plan, the height map, why did they leave out the height specificity and just have the number of floors? Thank you.
And is that Mr. Joyner?
Yes, sir. Sorry.
Okay, no, and we're happy to look into that, and that's a little bit separate from what we're doing right now, since the height map is specific to the city ordinance, but we will do a little research to figure out, because I understand that language you're talking about, floors versus feet, in terms of identifying how, you know, tall a building could be, but that's something I think we can answer quickly for you, and we'll provide that information to the board.
Thanks, sir.
Any other questions? All right, thank you. And is there any other business before this board, before we adjourn? All right, we're adjourned. Thank you.